tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hey everybody, this is A. Gregory Luna. Welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio. I hope you're doing well today. You can call me Gregory, of course. And I wanted you to let you know a couple of things. What's going on? Kate released her new Frankincense podcast. So if you're interested in learning about essential oils or you just want to hear someone with a very pretty, mellifluous voice, go over to Kate's Apothecary. She just released her recent episode on frankincense, so go check that out. Of course, all of our articles are at www.naturopathicearth.com. We pretty much publish a new article a day, so check those out. And of course, Confessions of an Obese Child is my personal confession series about what it was like to grow up overweight and then some of the lingering effects of growing overweight and some of the vestiges of that trauma that affect me even today. So today we're going to talk about the IARC's classification of carcinogens. This is a very fascinating article that I think it's very important to know about. So the World Health Organization has a department called the International Agency for Research on Cancer, or the IARC. The IARC's predominant job is to research cancer, and in particular carcinogens, cancer-causing things that are around us, either in the food or things that we breathe or chemicals that are created. And they have a list, a criteria of carcinogens. So group one are agents or toxins that are carcinogenic to humans. We know that for a fact that these cause cancer. How much do you need for it to become cancerous? Is not necessarily said, because that's not really IARC's job. They don't really do stuff like that. It's more with them is that the IARC classification indicates the strength of the scientific evidence for carcinogenicity of a substance. So it doesn't really give any indication of the level of risk associated with exposure. So with their classification system, they don't really quantify and say, okay, well, you need exposure for 30 minutes of acute radiation to get cancer. More of what their database and classification systems for is just straight out what agents are carcinogenic. So group one are the worst. These are known toxins that are carcinogenic. Then you have group 2A. Group 2A is probably carcinogenic to humans. Probably. And then group 2B is possibly carcinogenic to humans. So maybe it's carcinogenic to human, 2B. As opposed to 2A, which is probably. And then group 3 is not classifiable as to the carcinogenicity to humans. And then group 4 does not cause cancer to humans. So today we're just going to focus on group 1 and group 2A. And believe it or not, you probably will recognize a lot of these. These are going to be the definite carcinogens to humans and then the probable carcinogens to humans. But I thought it would be really good to cover some of these things because Lord knows we're exposed to enough toxins to light up a room. All right, so let's do number one. All right, number one is going to be one that we've already covered in a previous episode. This is going to be hormonal replacement therapy and hormonal contraceptives. So we discussed in a previous Naturopathic Earth episode about the effects that artificial estrogens have on the body. Now, this can be in different forms. These could be xenoestrogens, such as the form that you see in bisphenol A or parabens, also the ones that you see in phthalates. These are going to be broken down by the body as artificial estrogen, and then that, therefore, throws off the body's natural feedback system. And so it increases your chances of getting the lady cancers, the breast cancers, and the ovarian cancer. So that's kind of a surprising one when I bring it up to people that the birth control pill, and there's certain indicators that make you more likely to get it. And so talk about the Gardasil vaccine. We had talked about it. There's a higher rate of you getting cervical cancer, for example, if you had multiple partners or if you have herpes and so forth. So with the birth control pill, it's a longevity or long length of use of taking it is a risk factor. And then the different types. Now, there are different hormones that are in it, progesterone or progestin, and then estrogen. But it is a problem, guys. And if you look at the inserts of it, it'll say that it is a carcinogen. But I think doctors don't tell people that, or they don't know. And then connected to that is hormone replacement therapy. On the other side of the female spectrum, when you are menopausal, a lot of women will take fake estrogens to kind of minimize the heat flashes and the irritability and the vaginal dryness. But the unfortunate thing is that this came out about 20 years ago that many of those hormonal replacements were in fact carcinogenic. Nowadays, a lot of women are doing bioidentical hormones, and those are fine. Those don't increase the chances of cancer. So be very careful, ladies, if you're somebody of a young age or if you're somebody 50, 55 and think about hormone replacement. There are natural remedies and natural biohacks to keep your testosterone and your estrogen and your progesterone going fine, because testosterone is important because that's the sex drive hormone, among other things. All right, another known class one carcinogen is going to be processed meats. Processed meats in the form of fake meats, as in deli meats, for example, hot dogs, some forms of bacon, even processed chicken. Lots of times, if it's not chicken breast, they're just getting remnants of the chicken or even the fish, and like the tendons and the ligaments and the testicles and the brain matter. And then they fill it up with a lot of preservatives, like potassium sorbate or sodium nitrate, and then they pour them in mold. So it's like leftover crappy meat. Those are directly related to cancer. I think most of you guys know that there's a direct correlation to, among other cancers, colorectal cancer. So the evidence is very strong that the more processed meat that you eat, the fake meat, the better chance that you're going to have cancer. So please minimize those. So we're looking at salami, pastrami, hot dogs, Lunchables, all that stuff, all that frank and fake meat, please limit it. All right, number three is going to be PVC pipes, PVC. Now, please, I'm not planning to do the obvious ones like alcohol drinking and tobacco, because I think almost all you guys know about that. So I'm just doing the lesser knowns. So vinyl chloride, which is most famously seen in PVC plasticware, has direct links to lung cancer, liver cancer, and blood cancer, according to the IARC. And PVC pipes are everywhere. I mean, you can get them, of course, at Home Depot, but they're the pipes, the piping that's used through most of our houses to bring our water. Now, the main problem with PVC, and if you listen to our podcast on plastics, is not necessarily that our water comes through PVC or that we use it. It's mostly going to be people that are manufacturing PVC. That's the problem. But that is definitely a class one carcinogen. Vinyl in general is very problematic, and you should really try to get out of the house if for any of the reasons it's got a lot of phthalate. So get those puppies out. Get them out. All right, number four is going to be formaldehyde. Formaldehyde is typically seen as being used by embalmers and morticians to prepare dead bodies. But formaldehyde is also a sealer that's put in a lot of particle board, a lot of plywood, varnish, paints, and floor finishes, as well as cigarettes. Formaldehyde has also been found in vaccines. And formaldehyde is one of the ingredients that aspartame, otherwise known as NutraSweet, is broken down into, especially when those diet sodas or anything with aspartame is heated up. So formaldehyde's a major problem, guys. So anytime, and again, this is one of those things that you can kind of avoid, because just don't drink diet sodas, for example. But think of the things that it's seen in: particle board. Almost all of our furniture is particle board. Plywood, how often are we around there? That, varnish, paints, and floor finishes. So that's a lot of stuff. So try to stay away from that as well. All Okay, number five is going to be tanning beds. And again, these are in no particular order. These are just class one carcinogens that we know are directly linked to cancer. I would say probably starting in the 80s, but definitely in the 90s and the early noughts, tanning beds were very, very popular to the point where Final Destination even mocked a tanning bed death. If you remember those movies where those people were being chased by death and eventually had horrible deaths. So tanning beds, of course, are directly related to skin cancers, melanoma, for example, and other types of skin cancer because of all the ultraviolet light that comes from it. So I hope none of you guys are in tanning beds anymore. And we've talked about back in the sunscreen episode, probably that was episode 12, the importance of vitamin D coming from the sun and how important the sun is to the body. And so the fear of getting skin cancer because you're out in the sun is gravely overstated compared to the risk factors and deficiencies and diseases and maladies we get from not getting enough sun. Now, definitely use some sunscreen like the zinc oxide or titanium dioxide, the mineral-based ones. Use that on your face, for example. But for most days, even most days in the summer, just get that full sun. Get that full sun because the vitamin D, the vast majority of Americans are deficient in it, and it's really important that we get enough sun. I quoted that study in that podcast about how there was a much higher rate of cancer or skin cancer rates now than there were 100 years ago when we were predominantly more outside. And so don't worry too much about the sun, but definitely worry about tanning beds. All right, number six. Number six is going to be wood dust. And these are pretty funny, but again, how often are we around wood dust? Inhaled or absorbed when sanding or cutting wood. A lot of you guys like to do a lot of carpentry work. A lot of you guys like to do carpentry work, let's say, in your garage. And so wood dust, if you breathe it in, is a known carcinogen, lung cancer, among other cancers. Also, cellulose, which is made from wood dust, is found in a lot of foods, including cheeses and sausages. And that's why it's one of the shams, is when you get cheese, especially shredded cheese, more often than not, you're going to see the ingredient cellulose, which is just essentially wood pulp or wood dust. So when you are cutting wood, similar to the formaldehyde, with the particle board and so forth, just wear a mask. It's really important to wear a mask and preferably do it outside. So stay away from that as well. Okay, number seven is going to be engine exhaust. So we don't really think about this, but the exhaust that comes out of cars or any type of engine are highly carcinogenic. I think some of you, when you walk by a car that drives past you, if it's diesel, I remember Mexico, when I used to go to Mexico as a kid, it had a very unique odor and I never figured out what it was. And then when I went to Africa, I realized what it was. It's leaded gasoline. So we know lead is a known carcinogen, but we used to have leaded gasoline, right? So we have unleaded gasoline. But I just remember the smell of that, because back then they had lead. And so when I went to Africa, I was like, man, now I remember what Mexico smelled like when I was a six-year-old. But I mentioned in the previous podcast that living near streets, large thoroughfares, actually increases the chances of birth defects and cancer. They've done the study. I swear, you can look it up. So guys, when you're looking for a house, there's two things I would definitely look for. One, don't live near a main thoroughfare or on a main thoroughfare. And then number two is don't live near electrical or electrical plants or the large electrical wires, those long, big, tall ones, because those, I mean, they've done tons of studies on those houses that are around those electrical, the electrical lines, the tall electrical lines, how there's a much higher rate of leukemia in particular for people who live there. And I've actually seen YouTube videos of people who get those long fluorescent lights and they go outside to these electrical lights, the power plant lines, and electrical lines, and how these fluorescent lights light up. They light up because of all the radiation that's emanating from these electrical lines. So be very, very wary of that, guys. So again, no large streets, and try not to breathe in engine exhaust. All right, number eight is going to be mineral oil. Mineral oil. This is another one that the IARC has defined as being a known carcinogen. Mineral oil, otherwise known as paraffin. And if paraffin sounds familiar, it might be from paraffin wax that you see in candles. Mineral oil is a very benign sounding ingredient, but you find it in tons of things. For example, in cosmetics, they put paraffin or mineral oil in cutting boards. They also even put them in gummy candies to make them shiny. So if you look at, let's say, baby oil, look on the back of baby oil. Lots of times there's mineral oil in that. So look at your cosmetics. I mean, the cosmetics are like a landmine, guys, a landmine of carcinogens. When you're looking at just the amount of heavy metal toxins that you find in them, I mean, how many times have they found mercury or lead or cadmium in lipstick, for example? And then, of course, parabens are notorious. Those are preservatives that are used in makeup, among other things. So look on the back of your lotions. Look on the back of your shampoos and definitely your baby oil if you use it. And look for mineral oil or paraffin oil. Paraffin oil. I just honestly use coconut oil for lotions, to be honest. All right, number nine is going to be Helicobacter pylori or H. pylori. H. pylori is commonly seen in the stomach and in the duodenum of the small intestine. So most people know of Helicobacter pylori because it's the bacteria that's responsible for gastric and duodenal ulcers, which also then leads to a higher rate of getting stomach cancer. So ulcers is when the lining of the stomach, which protects the hydrochloric acid from burning through the muscle lining of the stomach and dripping into the body, which we call perforation of the stomach, it prevents it. So the mucus is there to prevent the acid from burning through it. So think of it this way. There's the stomach lining, and on top of that is the mucosa, and then on top of that is the acid. And then there's this nice balance. But when Helicobacter pylori, H. pylori, enters the body for a variety of reasons, it starts nibbling away or eroding the mucosa, which is that barrier. And so the acid then automatically starts touching the lining of the stomach and then can burn through it. So Helicobacter pylori is very ubiquitous. A lot of people have it, and it can just develop a colony there. And there's different ways to treat it. But if any of you guys have a history of ulcers, sometimes ulcers are caused by stress or by taking NSAIDs medications like ibuprofen and Aleve. It can be spicy foods, caffeine. There's a large variety of reasons why people get stomach ulcers. But if you do get stomach ulcers, you need to treat it. Some doctors like to treat it with antibiotics. There's, of course, problems with antibiotics. So I would definitely look at some natural remedies, which we'll talk about at a later time. But if you do develop stomach cancer, or I'm sorry, if you do develop ulcers in the stomach or the duodenum, just know you have a much higher chance of getting stomach cancer. And then stomach cancer is a problem. Any of the digestive system problems or digestive system cancers are very difficult to treat compared to other systems of the body. So Helicobacter pylori. Treat those stomach ulcers, please. All right, number 10. Number 10 are going to be some viruses that are linked to cancer. And these are viruses that we really don't think about. We think viruses are like the influenza. You just knock them out and you're fine. But there's certain viruses that can lead to cancer. The most famous one is going to be HPV, which is the human papillomavirus, which is linked to cervical cancer, which we've already talked about in a previous episode. So I recommend listening to that episode that I released about a month ago about some reasons why the Gardasil vaccine, which is ostensibly being created to protect boys and girls from getting HPV, which then leads to cervical cancer. Listen to that podcast. But HPV, if untreated, and it's a certain virulent strand, and you meet the certain risk factors, like having a lot of unprotected sexual partners, for example, and having chronic HPV can lead to cervical cancer. Another virus that can lead to cancer is going to be hepatitis. That's an infection of the liver, hepatitis B, hepatitis C. There's many strands of hepatitis, but typically this is going to be contracted from blood or some body fluid. But if you do contract hepatitis, you do have a higher rate of getting liver cancer. And of course, liver cancer is not something that we want, given that the liver is the main filtering organ of the body. All right, number 11. We're just going to throw in a bunch of these in number 11. I'm going to just call these the heavy metal toxins. And what can we say about this? So in this one, you can throw in aluminum, you can throw in arsenic, you can throw in cadmium, you can throw in mercury, you can throw in nickel. You can, I suppose you could throw in plutonium and radon and uranium, but we're really not going to talk about those because that has to do with radiation, either a celestial radiation or terrestrial radiation or solar radiation. But let's just talk about like some of these trace minerals and how they're found in different things around us. So nickel, for example, we don't really think about nickels being toxic, but there's trace amounts of it in cigarettes. Again, we think about cigarettes as only being problematic because of the nicotine, but there's something like 40 toxicants that are in it. And we've already mentioned cigarettes. We've already mentioned them before with the formaldehyde, and now here's nickel too. So nickel can be found in cigarettes, in cookware, going back to that episode dealing with the PFCs, coins, of course, shampoos, polluted water supply. Lead, we know, is a carcinogen. We've connected it to even to like lead pencils and then leaded gasoline and lead in the water, like what happened over at Flint, Michigan about a couple of years ago. We know that's a problem. Arsenic, they find arsenic in toys. They found arsenic in water. They've found arsenic in cosmetics. Cadmium, I think most of you guys know that a lot of the batteries are cadmium-based, but they're also found in cigarettes and fertilizers and even starchy vegetables. So again, in mercury, we've already talked about mercury before, so we're not really going to talk about mercury. But a lot of these things, it's difficult to detect. And because a lot of our stuff comes from countries where there are nearly as much environmental regulations or in the preparation of any of the exports. And so that's why you hear, especially, I guess, most famously would be China, where they ship over, I mean, you could say toys or goods or even clothes that are sprayed with chemicals that kill people. Or even like marijuana, cannabinoids, the Scooby snacks, the artificial marijuana that's shipped over from China, and even the fidget spinners. I mean, there's just a lot of things that can have trace mineral problems with it. So if you didn't listen to that episode on fidget spinners, there was an expose that came out saying that some of them, not all of them, but some of them have very high levels of having lead and arsenic in them. So just be aware of the heavy metal toxins. Aluminum, we know, is a problem. It's most famously seen in deodorants. And if you believe in chemtrails, same for barium. Barium has been found in chemtrails. So just be aware of the heavy metals and try to do your best to stay away from them as much as you can. All right, number 12 is going to be car toll pitch, coal tar pitch. Coal tar pitch, again, it's one of these things that we really don't think about, but you see them like in a lot of highway construction. This is going to be the tar, that black sticky stuff that they use on roofs to put on shingles. They use them lots of times in highways to put down the roads. You see them in a lot of medical procedures as well. So just be very wary if you're one of those guys that works in construction or who's a contractor or who works on the highways. Just be very wary and wear a mask anytime that you're around tar. All right, number 13 is going to be asbestos. I'm sure you guys have heard of those commercials of do you suffer from mesothelioma, a rare lung condition? You might have been exposed to asbestos. Call the law offices of bullshit, and ambulance chaser, and we'll help you. Now, in all honesty and no joking aside, it's very sad because a lot of construction workers have been exposed to asbestos. Asbestos was an insulation that was used probably around the time of World War II until about the 80s when it was revealed that the particles of that insulation would get into your lungs and cause a condition called mesothelioma, which is a type of cancer, and it's a very aggressive cancer that's killed a lot of people. And it's very sad. Now, the question is, did we, as in the establishment or the company that created asbestos, and honestly, off the top of my head, I don't know who they are. It's probably DuPont, because DuPont's created so many horrible chemicals. And then probably, they probably sold it to Monsanto, right, just to make it worse. But did they always know that it was a carcinogen or not? Well, I don't know. The IARC is always classified as a carcinogen. So again, asbestos is not something you have to worry about. It's been removed all from new houses, or new houses don't have it. And they're supposed to have been removed from old houses. One of the great conspiracy theories about 9/11 was that the World Trade Center towers 1, 2, and 7, remember, because we don't remember about 7 falling apart all by itself, even though a plane never hit it. But one of the conspiracy theories was that those buildings had asbestos, and how it was so expensive to go in and gut it to take out the asbestos. And there was going to be such a liability and so many lawsuits because of mesothelium and people were getting it that I can't remember who was the owner of the World Trade Center at the time. Larry Silverstein, I think was his name, that he decided with the powers that be to have the towers destroyed, because in the long run, because he had just taken out an insurance policy on the Trade Center buildings. So it ended up, he ended up making tons of money. So he was either a conspirator, or he colluded in it, or he knew about it, or he allowed it, or, you know, whatever. It's a 9/11 conspiracy. But I just wanted to bring that up. But as a whole, most of you guys are not going to have to deal with asbestos. All right. And the last one, the last class one carcinogen that we're going to deal with are aflatoxins. Aflatoxins, it might not sound familiar to you, but it comes from mold infestations, or mold infestations of either like the house or even a food. I think a lot of people don't know that when mold gets into your house, it is a major problem. If you listen to Dave Asprey, the guy who's in charge of Bulletproof Executive, Bulletproof Coffee, he has a website and a podcast, and he's very famous. He's a brilliant guy. Anyways, he talks about his issues throughout his lifetime when he was younger with mold, how it caused him to have all these respiratory problems, how it caused him to gain weight. And I think a lot of people fail to understand that. Now, if you've ever had a house flood, like my brother's house, unfortunately, flooded with Hurricane Harvey about 6 weeks ago, and water was about 2 feet high in the house. Lots of times these houses have to be gutted, because even if you can get the water out, let's say with a vacuum or whatever, or even professional guys come, that mold gets into the wall, into the sheetrock, and it's very hard to get it out. And then it proliferates the mold, it releases spores, and then it can get into your body and it can cause cancer. So just be very aware of it, guys. If you see that there's any type of mold in your house, get it checked, because it might not lead to cancer, but it does lead to a lot of respiratory problems. You can start getting rashes and you can gain weight, and it's a major problem. So get it treated. All right, the last one that I wanted to talk about was hot beverages. Even though this sounds really peculiar, guys, if you drink a lot of hot drinks, I mean like scaldingly hot, it does increase your chances of getting esophageal cancer, cancer of the esophagus, which is the tube that connects our pharynx or our throat down to our stomach. One of the precursors to esophageal cancer in some cases, especially if you have reflux or acid pouring into the stomach, into the distal esophagus, is Barrett's esophagus. And Barrett's esophagus is kind of a scalding and a scarring, I should say, of the esophagus, which can lead to cancer. But hot drinks. So guys, we love our coffee, we love our tea, but let's cool it down before we drink it. So I mean, some of these other ones are actual, you know, toxins, but this is just kind of like a lifestyle choice or a practice. So try to stay away from the hot drinks. All right, so we are done. Now, if you go to the IARC website, which is IARC.gov, you'll see the entire list of carcinogens of class one. We're only going to cover class one in this episode. We'll do class 2A another time. But there's a lot of chemicals that you've never heard of, and honestly, I've never heard of. So I only wanted to pick like the most well-known ones. And so if you review this list, a lot of these you are exposed to, or you're at least around. Hormone replacement therapy, the pill, asbestos, formaldehyde, H. pylori, plutonium, radiation, medical. We didn't really talk about radiation because I think you guys mostly know about radiation. Tamoxifen, vinyl chloride from PVC, coal tar pitch, engine exhaust, paint. I didn't really mention paint because paint, most of it is not containing benzene anymore, and benzene is the big naughty. But benzene, you can actually still find its sister chemical in sunscreen, and you could also find it in scented candles. But most of the paint now is pretty benign, but you still want to get VOC paint or volatile organic compound free. Go back to episode number 5 to listen to that. And then processed meats, mineral oils, salted fish is another one that I really didn't cover. Because most of you guys aren't exposed to salted fish or eat salted fish. And then wood dust, tobacco, and then the tanning bed. So by all means, go to the IARC website. Just Google IARC Group 1 Carcinogens, and you can see some of the other ones. All right, guys, thanks for listening. If you can, do us a favor, post a review on iTunes. It would take a second. And spread the news about MPE Radio. We really would appreciate it if you would do that. Thank you very much, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.